Hello and welcome to Word of God Ministries with Pastor James McMinnis. If you enjoy the teachings of Pastor McMinnis and would like to obtain more resources or help us continue preaching Jesus as the manifested Word of God, visit our website at WOGM.com. The following program is paid for by the friends and members of Word of God Ministries.
Come on, somebody. Man, I gotta testify. At the 9:45 service, I had preached 8 o'clock service, and I was at the 9:45 service, and my ears had been stopped up for over a week. I ministered last Sunday with my ears stopped up. Wednesday, my ears were stopped up, and y'all didn't know it. Landon said I was sounding fine, but it was a real struggle for me because I couldn't hear. And we were singing at 9:45 the song, Healing Is Here. And as soon as we got to the line and I receive it, literally, I was saying, healing is here. And I receive it. As soon as I said that, my ears just opened up. And they have been opened up ever since. Man, you want to make me break out into praise again. Come on, somebody. There is so much power in our words. There's power in worship. Amen. And just the healing power of God touching my life today during worship, man, it's got me on fire. Amen. I could swing over here right now on a rotten corn stalk. Shoot the devil in the eye with a water gun. All while singing, healing is here. If you would, stand with me as we reverence the reading of his word. Some destructive weather came through Texas, as many of you may have heard, last night. And I know we have a lot of partners and followers from here to Dallas. We have a telecast that airs out of the Longview-Tyler area. And I've been doing radio in Dallas for many years. We have a lot of members there. So from Dallas to Shreveport, we have a great following. We have members that drive from Tyler to Shreveport every week. And so let's pray for our neighbors and our friends in Texas that were devastated by the tornado that came through last night. Can we do that? Well, let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we just lift up all that were affected last night, God, by the storms that came through Texas. And I just pray right now, Lord, for restoration, for healing, for peace. God, I pray for all the first responders, all those that are giving care, for those that were injured. We just pray for wholeness today, God. Lord, I thank you that you are the God of restoration. So we pray for restoration for all those affected, Father, in faith today, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, if you would, open them with me to the book of Genesis. So if you bought a brand new Bible, there's a way you can break it in real easy. Genesis, I want to go to the first chapter. We're going to continue this morning in part two of Daughters of the Most High God. Daughters of the Most High God. And what the Lord really laid on my heart, and it's been some months ago, was that it just appears to me that in this culture we're living in, there's an identity crisis. That people just don't know who they are anymore. And as I was just thinking on it and seeing what's going on in the media and what's going on in the world, I remembered that mankind basically has four needs, all of us. And I'll bring this back up here in a minute, but acceptance, identity, security, and purpose. Acceptance, identity, security, and purpose. And when you struggle with your identity, it's rooted in not knowing that you're accepted. It's what leads many people to change their identity for the sake of being accepted. If you've ever in your life at any point began to change who you knew you were for the sake of being accepted by a certain crowd, you know what I'm talking about. We so long to be accepted that we'll put our identity in jeopardy when God called it to be the other way around. We're supposed to recognize our acceptance and his grace and find our identity in that acceptance. And so I want to deal in volumes 2 and 3, volume 2, Daughters of the Most High, And then volume 3, Sons of the Most High, so that we as men and women, sons and daughters, husbands, wives, fathers, mothers, can begin to see God's purpose in our life and then backtrack that purpose to security, identity, acceptance. And so I've been challenged by this series, and I was telling my wife this last night that who am I to get up and talk about daughters of the Most High? I'm a man. I'm not confused about that. You know, so who am I to get up and share a word, regarding women, except to open the book and to get in the word and see what it says? I don't have anything I can say except what I would say about my mom or what I'd say about my wife, whom I honor and love. So I'm just asking God to be gracious to me in this series and to help me be a blessing so we as men can change our view of women, particularly our moms and our wives and our sisters. But that if there is a woman here today or watching this live feed that, you know, maybe you have been disrespected and demeaned by the words or the lack thereof of a man, that you'd open God's word today and see what he thinks of you. Amen. All right, watch this with me in Genesis chapter 1. We'll start in verse number 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, that it is unchanging, that it is infallible. I pray, Father, right now that you would give us leadership by your Spirit. We thank you for the gift of your Spirit come to lead us into all truth. I pray for all that would be under the sound of my voice, Lord, that we would receive revelation, knowledge, wisdom, spiritual understanding, conviction of truth. Lord, I ask that you speak through me words that you would have spoken, that your Spirit would speak by me, that your word would be on my tongue, that you would make my tongue the pen of a ready writer, that I might write on the hearts and minds of these your people your anointed word, removing their burdens and destroying their yokes forever. As we boldly declare that Satan is defeated, we are redeemed, and Jesus is Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and you may be seated. Hallelujah. We read before the prayer in the book of Genesis in the first chapter, and I want to drop down, if you would, to Genesis chapter 1, verse number 31, but let me reiterate something I said before the prayer. And we were dealing with before the prayer that mankind basically has four needs. And The way you view your life right now, the success or failure you may be experiencing in life or in your marriage, is likely somehow rooted in these four needs. And those four needs are acceptance, identity, security, and purpose. And they literally, like dominoes, the one affects the other. When you find your acceptance with God, it's then that you can begin to walk in the identity that he called you to walk in. Once you recognize your identity in God's plan and God's will, then all of a sudden, with your identity, you have security. I was talking to a member this week and friend, and, you know, I said, you know, there are many things I might say to you that perhaps if I had a strong enough influence, I could get you to begin to question in your own life. But there's likely one thing about your life I would never be able to get you to question, and that is who you are. If I sat down with you and began to challenge your identity, your name, and said, hey, you're not, and then called your name, you'd be like, that's foolishness. I know who I am. I got a birth certificate that says who I am. I've been this all my life. This is who I am. I am James McManus. You know, once you know your identity, then there's security in that. And once we begin to walk in acceptance, identity, security, we're then free to fulfill our purpose. So that's really the heart behind this series. In sons and daughters of the Most High God, so that we can find our acceptance with God, find our identity, our security, and at the end of the day, fulfill the purpose that God has for us. I'm one that believes anytime you do not understand something's purpose, abuse is inevitable. I'm gonna say that again. Anytime you do not understand something's purpose, abuse is inevitable. And anytime I study the Word of God on any given topic, I like to go back and find where it was first mentioned and see what I can pull from that first mention so that I can find God's original intent for that thing. When Jesus was questioned about marriage, for an example, in the book of Matthew, the 19th chapter, he immediately referred back to the beginning. He said, in the beginning, God made male and female, and then he began to lay out the plan that God had from the beginning. So I want to go back in this series to the beginning and see what God saw and see if we can't discover our purpose as we turn back to the beginning. So in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, God has finished creation. This is the evening of the sixth day. And verse 31 says, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So at the end of the sixth day, God said, everything that I created, everything's finished. The sun, the moon, the stars, the rivers, the oceans, the dry land, the mountains, the flowers, the vegetation, man himself. God said, it's all very good. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And then God rested on the seventh day. Now, we come down to chapter 2, and I want to go to verse number 15. Well, the Lord God took the man, saying, or he took the man, verse 15 rather, and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Now, the word Eden means pleasure, pleasure. So God put man in the Garden of Pleasure to dress the garden and to keep the garden. And the reason he put him in a garden called pleasure is because God had taken pleasure in man, so much so that the word tells us that even the trees that God had created, he made them in such a way that they were beautiful to the eye of man, that God made everything pleasing to the sight of man, and because he takes pleasure in man. So he put man in this garden called pleasure to dress and to keep it. And then in verse 16, the Bible says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, it's all yours, enjoy. But, verse 17, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. So God gave a commandment that on this commandment would hinge life and death. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. Somebody might ask, why did God do this? Because God is the Lord. He is the owner. And he had placed man as a subordinate king in the earth and given him dominion. Mankind, you and I, are stewards of all that belongs to God. And the commandment of God is an ever reminder that we are not Lord, that we are not owner, that we are not God, and that everything we have in our life, we've received by his grace, we've received by his blessing. And honoring his commandments is an act of humility to communicate to God, you are my source, you are my supply, you are my life, you are the giver of all that is good and perfect. You are Lord, you are owner, I am steward. It's why, you know, we honor God. It's why even in the New Testament, we honor God with tithes and offerings. It is to communicate to God that, yes, you've enriched my life, but You are the source of my life, so I honor you by returning the tenth unto you to convey, I recognize you're the giver of all that's good and perfect in my life, but you are the source of my life. And so honoring the Lord in commandments is an act of humility that keeps him as the God of your life. And the Lord said, if you dishonor this commandment, there will surely be death. Now, watch what happens in verse number 18. Because God has just given man a commandment, and based on man's obedience to this commandment would determine life and death. And so in verse 18, the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. Read that part out loud with me. Ready? Read. It is not good. This is the first time God said something wasn't good. God had created the heaven and the earth and said it was good. And now God looks at man alone and he said, oh, this is not good. But notice the timing of it. He didn't say this was not good until after he had given man a commandment not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, a commandment that if he broke this commandment, there would be death. And so in that condition, God said, this is not good. It's the first time. And notice what God responded with in verse number 18. He said, I will make him an help meet for him. Read that part out loud with me. Ready? Read. I will make him an help meet for him. So God said, I've got to do something in response to what I'm seeing. Now, church, watch this right here, because God has finished his creation. I mean, he's created the sun, the moon, the stars, the rivers, the lakes, the seas, the dry land, the mountains, every flower, every fruit tree, all the vegetation, the birds to land in the tree and to sing their song. And then he came in and he took from the earth and made a man and put this man in the garden to be the HMIC of planet Earth, and everything was said and done, and it looked like the stage had been set and it was over. And then God took one last look after he gave commandment. He said, wait a minute, there's one more thing that needs to happen here. I got to do one more act of creation. And it was then that God created the woman. Let me set this up for you real quick. I've done more weddings in my life in ministry than I can count. I mean, my first wedding that I conducted, I was 18 years old. The bride was 18 years old. The groom was 18 years old. We were all 18, and none of us know what we were doing. And so we got through it, and they did well. Matter of fact, I baptized their daughter when she turned 18 years old. How interesting is that? And so, you know, I've done a lot of weddings, and in every formal setting that I've ever done a wedding or any wedding I've ever attended, everything was always in place before the bride came in. Come on, somebody. I mean, the music was right. The lighting was right. The flowers were right. The decorations were right. You had the preacher in position. You had the groom in position. You had the groomsmen in position. You had the bridesmaids and all their expensive dresses they didn't want to buy in position. Are y'all with me? Everything set. All the people were in the congregation seated. I mean, the mothers and the fathers and the grandparents were ushered in. And grandma's on the front row with her big old corsage. And she's sitting there. Everything is in position. And then all of a sudden, the music changes. And you hear the preacher say, all rise. And then all of a sudden, here comes the bride. And everybody breaks out their phone. And they're trying to get in a position to take the picture. Because this is the bride. This is the bride. She came in last. She didn't come in with the preacher. She wasn't marched in when the bridesmaids came in or the groomsmen. No, she was the last one to come in. Why? Because God established this pattern from the very beginning that you get the birds in position to sing. You get the lighting right. You get the flowers blooming. You get a man there waiting. Come on, somebody. And then here comes the bride. God brought the bride in last. Why? Because the woman was the apex of his creation. She was the capstone of his creation. She was the icing on the cake of his creation. That's what God thought about the woman, and that's why he brought her in last. What a beautiful picture of the way God views his daughters. When he created woman, he made her last. That was the last thing, the woman that God created. Listen, ladies, that ought to say something to you, that it's not your burden to find a man. He didn't come in last. You came on the scene last. That means it is the man's job to get his lights on in his own house, to get him a job good enough to take care of you and him, and you're going to want more than water and electricity and gas. Come on, somebody. You know, the man has to get all that together. He has to get his house in order. He's got to move out of mama's house. He's got to get his job. He's got to get a little money in the bank and have his own vehicle for transportation. And then when he gets all that done, then the icing on the cake would be, here comes the bride. Come on, somebody. See, the bride shouldn't enter until everything's been set. God's showing from creation that the bride doesn't come on the scene until everything is set. The lights got to be right. The birds have got to sing. The flowers need to be blooming. He's getting everything in position. He says, okay, now focus on my daughter. Here comes the bride. See, if number one, if I was a woman, and I have no confusion about that. When I came out of my mother's womb, I'm sure they said this is a boy. But if I were a woman, I believe I'd rejoice. I was like, man, that's what God thinks of me, that he brought the species of the woman in at the last. And I was thinking about it this morning, and I said, you know, and this isn't always the case, because my wife can get ready like that. I mean, she's not a common woman. I mean, she's supernatural in every way, so she can get ready like fast. But I know typically, you know, men wait on their wives. Why y'all so quiet? You know, you peek your head in the bathroom. You ready, baby? Just a few more minutes. I'm getting my makeup on. Got to get my hair right. And then so man ends up waiting for his wife to get ready so you can leave. And it hit me this morning that maybe that's the way God wants it to be. He wants man to always be waiting on a woman. That's just the way he did it from the very beginning. When he made man, he put man out there in the garden and said, okay, name everything that came by. And as Adam named everything that came by, he noticed that the giraffe had a female giraffe, and the bear had a female bear, and the dog had a female dog, and the horse had a female horse. He's like, wait a minute, I don't have no companion for me. I don't have nothing else like me. And God said, okay, it'll come. You got to wait. God made woman the icing on the cake. He made her the grand finale that speaks to the honor that God gives a woman. You know, listen, imagine being at the reception after a wedding, and imagine the father of the groom standing up and speaking to his son and saying, son, daddy's proud of you. You know, you've done well. You've lived for the Lord. You've consecrated your life. You made it through school. You got a good job, and you're building yourself a good home. But son, I got to tell you, this girl right here you just married is the best thing that ever happened to you. Wouldn't that be awesome for daddies to say that to their sons, that this woman you just married is the best thing that ever happened to you? Not your graduating high school, not your graduating college, not buying your own home, not getting that good job. No, this woman you just married, son, is the best thing that ever happened to you. Not my daddy passed away before my wife and I married, but I have no doubt in my mind that if my daddy had been alive when I married Chrissy Lafitte, he would have said to me, son, that is the best decision you ever made in your life. She is the best thing that ever happened to you. I don't have any doubt about that whatsoever. And my daddy has some anxiety about me getting married, and he has some anxiety about me having some boys. The McMenna's name is not a common name, and my daddy was worried about the McMenna's name dying off, and he would tell me again and again, son, you got to make sure and have some boys, because if you don't have some boys, our name is going to die. You're the only one that can keep the name alive. And I'm like sweating, like, okay, daddy, I'm just going to have, I guess, 15 kids until I have a boy. He told me, he said, you're going to marry a brown-haired, brown-eyed girl. I always knew I'd marry a brown-haired, brown-eyed girl, because that's what Daddy told me to marry. And Daddy told me, don't marry no broke woman.
He did. He told me that. He said, don't marry no broke woman. She'll spend all your money. She'll spend every dollar you'll ever make. Because I married your mama when she was broke and she spent all my money. That he told me that. It may not have been spiritual. Don't take no offense. That's just what my daddy told me. I have no doubt that he would have looked and said, son, that's the best thing that ever happened to you is this marriage right here. You married this girl, and she manages money well, and she's given me two boys and two girls, and the best gifts that any person could ever give me, my wife gave me. God brought the woman in at the end because he wanted that kind of honor. He wanted that kind of glory, that kind of praise to be given to her. And sadly, culture from the very beginning, society from the very beginning has not tapped the heart of God, because you see today women degraded and demeaned and disrespected and not given the honor that God called a woman to walk in. When you read Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31, you see that there is an honor, there is a glory, there is a praise, there's an adoration that God has called sons to give their mamas, husbands to give their wives. There is an honor. That, you know, listen, you think about this. On Mother's Day, there'll be restaurants packed and all the Hallmark cards stripped right off the shelves down at the local pharmacy. But on Father's Day, I mean, ain't nothing changed. You walk into a pharmacy on Mother's Day, you got a whole aisle of Mother's Day cards. You go in there on Father's Day, it's on an end cap. A man can spend all his time outside with his son, teaching his son, training his son to be the best athlete ever. But as soon as he gets on TV, hey, Mom. Now, what I want to do here in verse number 18 is undo what bad tradition and bad religion has done to this verse. Verse 18, and the Lord God said, it's not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. And God's answer to Adam was not Steve, but Eve. God said, man needs woman. Man's answer is woman. Creation's answer is a woman. The kingdom's answer in this situation is the woman. God had a plan from the very beginning that we'll look at, Lord willing, next week, that Satan would begin to hate and would begin to attack. That's why Satan didn't come to Adam at the temptation in Genesis 3. He came to the woman because he knew there was something about that woman that he needed to interrupt. See, notice the attack of the enemy when you get to the third chapter of Genesis. He doesn't approach Adam. He approaches the woman. He looked at God's last creation and said, this is the one I got to target. And I'm going to show you why, Lord willing, next week. Now, when you see this word, or these words in verse 18, I will make him an help meet for him. This word in Hebrew is spelled E-Z-E-R, and it's pronounced Azer, Azer. And what I want to do is I want to show you in the word that this word help is not the type of help that we've made it. So what I want you to do is put you a bookmark here in Genesis 2 and turn with me to the book of Exodus, and I want to go to the 18th chapter, Exodus chapter number 18. When you get over there, just say amen. Exodus chapter number 18. So God said to this man, I'm going to create help. You, it's not good that you be alone. I got a solution. I'm going to give man a help meet for him. Hallelujah. So ladies, again, it's not your burden to go find a man. Now you might say, but Pastor, can I help him find me? Well, you can help him by praying for him even before you know who he is. Start praying for your future spouse. Start praying for your future husband. Ask God to keep them safe. Ask God to keep them pure. Ask God to keep them in the Word. Ask God to keep them in church, because that's where you're going to be. You ain't going to go to the club, because that wouldn't be the answer to your prayer. You've been praying for him to stay out the club. What, you going to go looking for him in the club? You're not going to go into the streets and find him, because that's not where you've prayed that he'd be. See, that's why you need to start spiritually investing in your future spouse before you meet them. Amen. Pastor, I'm praying for somebody I don't know. You pray for somebody you don't know, because you're going to know them. And when you meet them and they become your spouse, you want to be able to say, I've already invested in you. I've been praying for you before you ever came on the scene. Hallelujah. So that's how you can help them find you. Amen. But all that other stuff, no, leave all that alone. Now, watch this in verse number 4 of Exodus chapter number 18. And the name of the other was Eleazar, for the God of my father, said he, was mine help, and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. Now, anytime you read the word or see the letters L, E-L, in a name, E-L represents God. Elohim, Emmanuel, El Elyon, Daniel, Daniel, Elijah, Elijah, Elisha. Anytime you see El, that's God in that name. That's the name of God embedded in that name. Azer is a name that means help. When you read in Genesis 2:18 that God was going to make man help, in Hebrew you would read, I'm going to make him Azer, help. It's not the help we made it in the English language, because we've minimized that help to be help meet my needs, help pay my bills, help me with companionship. But God's mindset when he said help was not the way we would view help me. The word there is Azer, and we see what that name represents here in Exodus 18:4 when he says, in the name of the other was Eleazar, for the God of my father, said he, was mine help and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. What was the sword of Pharaoh going to do? It would have killed him. And he said, but you know what? God, my help, saved me from death. God, my help, saved me from destruction. Therefore, I named this son Eleazar, because God is my help. That's the same Hebrew word that God looked at when he saw Adam and said, it's not good you be alone. I'm going to make you Azer. I'm going to make you help. It's literally defined as lifesaver, lifesaver, lifesaver. It's not good that man be alone. I'm going to give man a lifesaver. I'm going to give the human race a lifesaver. I'm going to give my kingdom a lifesaver. God recognized that his creation would have had no life without the womb man, without the woman. So woman became God's lifesaver. She became the avenue of life into the earth, and God gave her this heavy name, Azer. She would be man's help, not companion. See, I think we've made wives, we've made the woman just the companion. Now, I love companionship. I love my wife being my companion. Come on, somebody. I can see Adam and Eve, you know, as the sun began to set over the garden. And the beautiful colors of the sun as it set over the garden. And I can just see the night sky being illuminated, you know. And I can just see the glory of the galaxies, you know, and the stars in that beautiful romantic evening on date night. I can understand and fully relate to a man that says, thank God for companionship. Now, you do know you can be alone and not lonely. But don't nobody want to be alone. But don't just make what God did there about companionship, because this is much greater. Notice the timing of the verse. It was right after God gave man a commandment that if you eat of this tree, you shall surely die. Then he responded, it's not good that man should be alone. In other words, his answer of the woman was more than just companionship for a man that was by himself. This would be an avenue of salvation that God would bring into the earth. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Come with me to Psalms 121. Psalms 121. I feel like if we get a hold of what God is saying, sons will change their view of their mamas. In that, sons might start providing more honor and more respect for their mothers than maybe what they have been. Husbands might look into the lives of their wives and give more honor and more respect than they ever have. I can tell you this. I've known the help of the Lord through two women in my life, my mama and my wife. And I know that my mama was more than my companion. And I know my wife is more than my companion. I can remember as walking in my mama's kitchen and have a heavy heart and my mama say, son, what's wrong? And I didn't even say anything. And I might not even wanted her to know something was wrong. But she had an intuition and she had an insight into me that was supernatural. And she could speak right into my life. And she could give me counsel. And she could give me unconditional love when I needed it. And I cannot tell you what I might have turned out to be had I not had help from the Lord that came through my mama. God sent me help through my mama. She secured me. She saved me. She liked certain friends in my life and others she did not like. And she was always right. When she saw me hang out with a crowd, she'd say, I don't like that boy. And she saw me hang out with a girl, she'd say, I don't like that girl. She was always right. She was my help. I'm talking about unsaved, out of church. God used my mama to keep me on the straight and narrow. He used my mama to save my life. I'm not the man you know. I'm not the husband I am to my wife. I am not the daddy I am to my children were it not for the help that God gave me in my mama. I don't think I'm the only one here today that can testify that it were not for a mama or it not for a grandmother, that the word of God would not have been in many families. Many families would not be in church. There would have been no prayers in that house had God not sent help through the avenue of a woman, a mother, a grandmother. I don't know that I saw it. I don't know that I saw it. I do now. This morning, I came out of the bathroom. I was getting ready, and I was about to put this clean suit on. Actually, I was getting ready to put another suit on, but it didn't work right. And so I eased the door open where I could look in the bedroom and see if Chrissy was awake, and she was up. And I said, well, I'm going to go in here and snuggle with my wife for a minute. Come on, somebody. So I eased in there and got back into bed with her just for a minute just to snuggle with her before I went off. Came up here for the 8 o'clock service. And so I laid down next to her, and my wife said, let me pray. No, she didn't even say let me pray. She just started praying. And so she prayed over the services today. She prayed that God would give me strength, that the Lord would speak through me. She prayed for all of our volunteers. She prayed for all of our staff. She prayed for all those that would attend today. She prayed over the whole service. She prayed over me. When I got through snuggling, I'd been prayed for and built up and edified. Felt like I could do whatever God called me to do. Went back in the bathroom, put this suit on, and came and did the Father's business. She's my help. She's my help. You see me preach. You see me pastor. What you don't see is my help, that I've got help that you don't see. I've got help that keeps me sane. I've got help that keeps me straight. I've got help that keeps me in order. I've got help that keeps me healthy. I've got help that keeps me. And without my help, I'm not the me that you see. God looked at James McManus and said, it's not good that you should be alone. I will give you help. And the help he gave was beyond companionship. The help he gave life and security, that the life now that would fulfill its purpose because the help that God gave me through my wife. I literally drove up here this morning thinking to myself, I don't even know what all my wife might have brought or saved me from. I just know I'm not the me that I am without her. When God said help, he didn't mean hired help. He didn't mean somebody to help you rake the leaves. He didn't mean somebody to sweep the floor. He didn't mean somebody to wash the socks or pick up the socks out the living room. He was talking about, I'm going to send help. Help from God. Life-giving help. That's what God did when he made woman. Some of you only know that through a mother. Some of you only know that through a grandmother. Some of you are blessed to know that through a wife. Some of you don't know it yet at all. That when you left that place that night and you got home, and when the next morning you woke up from your intoxication, and you wondered how you got home, you didn't know that your mama was woken up by the Spirit of God at 2 a.m. that morning and she was praying for you. Some of us will never know this side of heaven what a help our mama was, what a help our wives have been to make us the men that we have turned out to be. Hopefully a message like this will move you to say something now while you got the chance. That means if your mama's still alive, you ought to call her today. And if she's not, you ought to thank God you had her for the days you did. My mama's already gone to heaven, but if I could speak to her right now, I would let her know how much I appreciate her and what she meant to me, how she spoke into my life and believed in me when nobody else believed in me. God sent help to me. Hallelujah. This isn't just some old companion. This is help when God uses that word. Watch this in Psalms 121. Everybody there? All right, watch this in verse 1. And I wonder how many husbands today, we don't even know what we got. Our name would have died had our wives not given us children. We'd have been in the streets had our wives not come into our lives. I wonder how many of us today are not even the men we would have been had God not given us a wife after his own heart. Psalm 121, watch this. Verse 1. Read it with me. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. See, when you read that verse, I'm a preacher now, but when I read that verse, I can't just read like this. Let me show what I'm talking about. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. I can't do that. When I read a word like that, I got to put some umph in it. I got to put something in there right there, because I just see that being spoken out of desperation, that I'm in a bad place and I need help. I'm in a struggling place and I need help. I'm in bondage. I need help. I'm broken. I need help. I'm sick. I need help. I need some help. I'm desperate. I need help. Have you ever used this verse? Have you ever quoted that verse? Have you ever spoken that verse over your life? Help me do it right quick. Ready? Let's read. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. It is likely any time you ever heard that word read or preached, there was always emphasis on the word help. Especially if it was a Baptist preacher. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. Help me. From whence cometh my help? See, you put something on help when you read that. Am I right? Then why do we read Genesis 2:18? I will make him help meet for him. Because we see that help differently. Watch this. If you're in a life or death situation, you're seeking God for help, you're asking for help differently than if you're trying to mow your grass and you need somebody to help you. Or you're picking up something heavy and you call your neighbor and say, hey, man, I'm trying to move a couch out back of my truck. Can you come over and help me? Oh, yeah, I'll come over and help you. Thank you, man. No, when your life is on the line, help! Help! I'm in a situation I can't get out of. Help! When God looked at man alone, he didn't say, you need somebody to move a couch. He would say, help! I'm going to send you help. And see, we need to start viewing men, our moms, our sisters. We need to start viewing our wives, not in the help meet for him. We need to see them as help. See, that's why a man will go crazy over a woman. Listen, literally and figuratively. Because there's some men that are literally gone crazy over some women. I start twitching, start talking crazy. That's when you need to run. You need to get out of there. You might need to leave this city. Say, Pastor, I love my church. Watch the live feed. You got to get out of here, baby. That man's crazy. So he starts talking about, I can't live without you. I won't live without you. That don't mean but two things. He gonna kill himself or you. You got to go, baby. You got to run. See, men will get crazy on women when they see the need that they have for her. And but listen, there needs to be a type of desperation when we call on the help from the God. Let me show what I'm talking about. Come over with me. I want to read one or two more verses. Let's go to Psalms 20. Psalms 20. I'm almost done here. Hallelujah. Psalms 20. Everybody say, help. Now, I'm going to read these real quick, all right? I'm going to go to 20, and then I'm going to go to 70, and we'll be done. Now, hang out for 70 now, because there's something there. Psalm 20, verse 1. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The Lord hear thee when? The name of the God of Jacob defend thee, send thee help. Say, I'm in trouble, send help. You ever ask somebody, send some help, man, I'm in trouble. Help, send some help. Glory to God. Come with me to Psalms 28. Psalms 28. Watch this in verse number 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. Why? Because he's my help. All right, come over to Psalms 33. Watch this in verse number 19. To deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine, our soul waiteth for the Lord. Read it. He is our help and our shield. See, same word. All right, last one, Psalm 70. See, when God said, I'm going to create this man help, it was a declaration that there's going to be trouble without it. There's going to be death without this help. He's adding severity. He's giving weight to this help. Glory to God. Now watch this in Psalm 70. And we'll look at it in verse 5. Everybody there? But I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God. Thou art my help and my deliverer. O Lord, make no tarrying. Now, I appreciate the anointing of David, and I especially appreciate his vocabulary, because he almost sounds European here in this verse. Because he says, I'm poor and needy. Make haste unto me. See, I wouldn't have said it like that. I'd have said, I am broke. Could you hurry? But he says, I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God. Thou art my help and my deliverer. O Lord, make no tarrying. See, I've never in my life prayed to God and said, make no tarrying. I'm like, Lord, where you at? So I know David is saying this in his own language in a desperation of cry for help and deliverance. You know, but I can see I have been there. I have been there where I felt poor. I felt broken. I felt needy. I'm saying, make haste. God, could you hurry? Where you at, Lord? Do you hear my cry? Oh, God, thou art my help. You're my help, Lord. Where am I going to go if you don't show up? Who am I going to turn to if you're not here? You are my deliverer. Oh, Lord, make no tarrying. I've never said that, but I've said, Lord, please hurry. I read that at the 9:45 service. I said, shoot, I'm going to start trying that with the kids when we're in a hurry to go somewhere. We're trying to get in the car and go so we won't be late. I always say, y'all hurry up. But I'm going to stop saying it. I'm going to try this at least one time. I'm going to say, oh, children, make no tarrying. Make haste, make haste. I'm just going to see how that flies. But what David is saying here is that I'm in a broken place, and Lord, you are my help. You are my help. I read all of these verses to get you to see the context of the word help, the context of the word Azer, which is the same word that God used when he looked at man and he said, I got to make him help. See how weighty that is? Ladies, that's how important you are to God's plan. That's how important you are to God's plan. That's what you are as a daughter of the Most High God. So no matter what has been spoken over your life in the past, this is what God thinks of you. When he looked at his creation, he said, oh, man gonna need some help, woman. And brought in his grand finale, the woman. That's your heritage. That's your legacy. That's your identity. That's who you are as daughters of the Most High God. Hallelujah. Let me pray for you this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. And thank you for the acceptance that you give us. And the identity that we have in you. Lord, if there be any female under the sound of my voice in this sanctuary watching this live feed, that, Lord, life or circumstances or words have oppressed. If there be any lady here today that doesn't know her value, I pray today that every woman under the sound of my voice would know the way you see them, that they are daughters of the Most High God, the apex of your creation, the icing on the cake, the grand finale, the crescendo. Father, I pray if there be any woman here that's been plagued by a society or a culture that degrades or demeans women, if they've come up from a family or of a relationship that's been destructive or demeaning, that today, Lord, you would give beauty for ashes, the oil of gladness for mourning, and the garments of praise for the coat of heaviness. That every female would know that they are the daughters of the Most High God. Father, I pray for every man that you would give us a sensitivity to our moms, to our sisters, to our wives, that we would give them the honor that you've called us to give. We ask forgiveness for any word of disrespect or that's devalued our mother, our sister, our spouse. We repent. God, I pray we as men would walk out of here today with a new sensitivity and a new honor. That we'd be courteous, that we'd be respectful, that we would be supportive, that our words would build up and never tear down, and that our words would give life. And that we would walk in the sensitivity knowing that every time we talk to a female, we're talking to your daughter. A daughter you love. A daughter you cherish. A daughter, Lord, that you waited to the end to create. Forgive us, Lord, as a people. And heal today, Lord, as only you can. Ladies, God honored you and Satan hates you because of the plan of salvation that God ordered his master plan to come through you. He sent Jesus through the womb of a woman, a virgin named Mary. You are the avenue of life. You bring life to the earth. You bring nourishment. You bring care. You bring relationship. When men get together and converse, we talk about accomplishments. We talk about where our team is in the playoffs. We talk about the new promotion we got on our job. We talk about the new car. We talk about how our sons are doing in their league. We talk about accomplishments. When women get together, the conversation is about relationship. How are your children? How is your marriage? Are you seeing anybody? Without the woman, we would be a people that don't appreciate relationship. God does something supernatural through the woman that is needful in our lives. And ladies, today, you are the daughters of the Most High God. And no matter what you've been through, no matter what you may be going through right now, God sees the value in you. When nobody else does, he sees your value. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray today, God, in the name of Jesus, that we would leave here not just hearers, but doers of your word. Sensitive to your word and sensitive to your spirit. May sons call their mamas today. May husbands honor their wives today. May brothers honor their sisters today. May we change our outlook and our view because of your word. If you're here today and you're sitting next to your wife, if you would just grab her hand, lean into her, and say, you are my help. You are my help. I invite all to pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. I ask forgiveness of my sins, and that you would cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I believe Jesus died for me. I believe you raised him from the dead. And I confess
Jesus Christ as Lord of my life. I ask right now that I be led by your Spirit, that you order my steps in your word. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for tuning into Word of God Ministries podcast. To obtain your copy of this series in its entirety, visit our online store at store.wogm.com. For more information about Word of God Ministries, visit our website at wogm.com.